This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
محلا للأغيار والأحسان. It's a place of other things and of griefs and worries. ومعدنا لوجود الأكدار والفتن. And it's an absolute just a mine for the existence of various different types of filth and challenges and temptations and fitna and chaos in life. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا إلى يوم الدين أما بعد الحمد لله. To continue with our series on Ibn Ata'illah's Hikam, the Book of Wisdoms, we are page 139, which is today it's covering wisdom number 229. This one is really provides an answer to something that we will probably experience on a daily basis, and it puts things in perspective. And I think what it does is that it eases the issues that we go through. It's a very interesting one. It's helped me a lot. So you'll see what I mean. He says, Ibn Ata'illah rahimahullah says, إِنَّمَا جَعَلَهَا مَحَلًا لِلْأَغْيَارِ وَمَعْدِنًا لِوُجُودِ الْأَكْدَارِ تَزْهِيدًا لَكَ فِيهَا. Subhanallah, what a perspective. What a useful perspective. What such a beneficial perspective. He only made the world the place of alterities and the mine of impurities by way of inducing detachment in you towards it. It's talking about the nature of the world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the nature of the world a place for lots of different things that will happen in there. Lots of impurities, filth, bad things, bad events, difficulties, challenges, something or the other breaking down, something happening. You're never settled. You're settled for a few days and then suddenly something goes wrong again. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the world a place of aghyar. Whenever you use the word aghyar, he means a place that is constantly going to challenge you to take you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Aghyar is everything besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like other things. He calls them, all the translation here talks to them about as alterities, not really a common term really. But the world is a place full of that, and it's a mine of impurities. Ma'din. Ma'din is a place, a mine, where you mine things out of, from the ground, a quarry of some sort. So it's a place like that, that is full of impurities. But the reason he made it like that, he doesn't want to get you to become too comfortable here. He doesn't want us to become too rested here, too confident here, by way of inducing detachment in you towards it. So he wants you actually to be detached of it once you understand its reality, to realize that this is all going to end. So let us see what the commentary says. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, has described the world with these characteristics in a sense that it's a place full of sadnesses and griefs and setbacks and losses and challenges and weaknesses and things coming up that you have to take care of. You live in a place, you ride an animal or you ride a car, and the vehicle has a problem, something eventually gives up. If nothing else, then the brakes have to be redone. The oil has to be refilled. And they're constantly adding new things that you have to fill in there. Add blue now as well. Right. And then you have to change a bulb every now and then. And then something might go wrong. You might get a scrape or a scratch. And then you have to get that fixed. And all of this, it just keeps you on. You cannot have a routine. And then if you go one place bigger, you have your house, something might happen there, something might break, something might start leaking, you might get rats or mice come in, you might get some other insect infestation, you might get your lock broken, a light will go out, you have to change a bulb, you have to change the fixture, you have to get some new furniture, the fridge has an issue, it's not cold enough anymore, it's not freezing, It's leaking, ya Allah, the taps. And it's just a constant place so that you don't get too comfortable. Nowadays, after reading this, when I see something like that happen, it's like, okay, khalas, Allah just wants me to be distracted from the world. And it just makes life a bit easier. And then after that, within the people that we know, suddenly somebody's died, somebody's sick, somebody's not wanna talking to us anymore, somebody's getting angry with us, we have an argument with somebody, somebody has physical problems, they get some sickness, they have a mental health illness, they want something and you can't help them get it. They want something from you, you can't give it to them. You can't assist them, you can't help them. Ya Allah, how many more things do you want? And then your job, and there it is, you finally find a job. It's been so competitive to find a job. It's not the perfect job either. It makes it work, as they say, it puts the bread on the table. It puts food on the table, nothing more than that. Right, that's all you're doing it for. You hate going there, but you have to go there because how else are you going to survive? Ya Allah, what are these challenges? The previous job was better, but I got fired from that one. Or they laid me off. There was a big layoff. I'm in between jobs, somebody says. What does that mean, ya akhi? I'm asking like, what do you do? I'm in between jobs. It basically means that I'm not doing anything right now. Right? It's a nice way of saying that. These are the challenges. And then in the job, something comes up. You can't finish your project. Or they take you off and put somebody else on. Or there's somebody backbiting you and there's somebody else trying to get the promotion that you want. Or they're putting too much burden on you. They expect too much work from you. Or in one case, there wasn't enough work and you just sat around doing nothing and feeling bad about that. And you should be feeling bad about it. There was not much going on. They were just paying you. And or the money isn't coming on time. They haven't paid you for a month. Ya Allah. Just something or the other that is going to continuously happen. Or the weather is not as you want it. The holiday you booked the book and then the tickets got cancelled. Or worse still, a war broke out. Allah Ta'ala relieve us. And so on and so forth. These are just constant issues. Or you just get sick yourself. We feel bad. We feel weak. We don't feel up to it. We feel sleepy that day. We couldn't sleep at night. Or maybe we could. Or we wasted time with something else. Or we had some other issues. La ilaha illallah. Mahallan lil aghyari wal ahzan. It's a place of other things and of griefs and worries. Wa ma'dinan li wujudil akdari wal fitan. And it's an absolute just a mine for the existence of various different types of filth and challenges and temptations and fitna and chaos in life. Why does he then laka fiha? In order to make you detach from it. So that you don't get too comfortable with it. You don't get too excited with it. You don't think that is the end all for you. Does he to make zuhud, to make you renounce it. So, but there's no escape from it. So finally, when a person is in between those things, I'm in this world. I can't be out of this world. This world is a reality. You can't get out of this world. But I need it. I need the food. I need to earn a living. I need to live somewhere. I need to do something in this world. I need to be able to worship Allah. So I have to get some of the world. But then the world is just so full of chaos. So I need to strike that balance. The people who can't strike that balance, they're the ones who have a problem. If they don't strike a balance, and rather what they do is, they get too engaged in the world and they forget the akhirah. There's some people who get too involved in the akhirah to such a degree, meaning the hereafter, to such a degree that they go overboard in their renunciation of the world, which is a dry, unwise renunciation of this world, and then they become even worse off because they can't deal with it afterwards. So the world is a necessary place to be because it's the way that you have to get beyond. And he's going to provide a parable for that, which is really, really interesting. So that's why he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it so that you don't get too comfortable in it, knowing that it's still necessary. So فَتُقْبِلْ بِكُلِّيَّتِكَ عَلَيْهِ. So that you can fully focus on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while just using this as an instrument. The world is literally just the means. It's an abode of means, and it is a means for us to get to the hereafter. So our focus is the destination. The world is just what we have to do to get there. وَتَتَوَجَّهْ بِهِمَّتِكَ إِلَيْهِ. And your full aspirations are directed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not the world. The world is just something you're supposed to pick up on the way, that you're just using on the way to get through, because there's no other way to go. أَوْ لِتُعْرِضُ عَنِ الدُّنْيَا. Another way to look at it is you renounce the world. You renounce the world in a way that you don't let it get to your heart. وَتُقْبِلْ عَلَى الْآخِرَةِ. And you focus on the hereafter. One of the pious people, this is the example. Everybody comes up with their own kind of parables and examples. Like, what do you think of the dunya? How do you see it? Right? So one particular sage, he says, إِنَّمَا مَثَلُ الدُّنْيَا كَالْبَحْرِ الْهَائِلِ الْمُحِيطِ. The dunya, you can say, the world that we live in, is just like this huge, tumultuous, massive ocean. And وَالْآخِرَةُ مِنْ وَرَاءِ ذَلِكَ الْبَحْرِ. So it's in front of you. You look on either side, you just can't see the end of it. It's a huge ocean. And it has huge waves and everything. But you know on the other side is the akhirah. You know the other side is where you want to go, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Paradise is there. And whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is prepared is there. However, you can't even see it. It's so far away. And the ocean is just coming at you. And you can't even see the akhirah, but you know it's there. It's on the other side. You know that for sure. وَلَا يَنْكَشِفِ الْحِجَابُ عَنْ عَيْنِ الْقَلْبِ بِالنَّظْرِ إِلَى الدَّارِ الْآخِرَةِ إِلَّا بَعْدَ الْجَوَازِ عَلَى ذَلِكَ الْبَحْرِ فِي سُفُنِ الصَّبْرِ وَالرِّضَى. Because you know it's there, the problem is that you can't even see it. It's veiled from you. And the only way the veil, and it'll only come within your sight, and your within vision, is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala relieves and removes the veils from our hearts to the hereafter. That can only happen once we get close enough over this ocean. But getting over this ocean is not easy, because it has huge waves and difficulties and storms, lots of chaotic situations there. So how do you get over? And you've only got a little boat to get over. So you have to brave all of these things with sabr and with satisfaction with whatever Allah keeps us. Because you know that this is the way it's going to be. There's no better way than this. There's no smooth way. There's no stable way. The only way is through the waves to the other side. And that's exactly what the dunya is to the akhirah. So all of these things that happen in the world is just to tell you this isn't your place. This is just a temporary place. I mean, you're not on the ocean forever. Nobody lives on the ocean forever. The ocean is always used to get to the other side. Yes, maybe you can live on an island, which gives you an idea of stability, but you can't live on a ship or in a boat that is trying to take you across, because you know this is just a place to traverse, just to get over. And the dunya is exactly like that. Treat the dunya as an ocean, and the real land and the place to become a resident is on the other side, inshallah, in Jannat al-Firdaus. So that's why he's saying that you have to treat it like that. So now when you're trying to get over this ocean, it's just going to be full of all of these difficulties. So you need sabr, and you also need rida, which means you also need satisfaction. You need to take it as it is. That's what it means in other ways. For example, life becomes much easier when you embrace the difficulties. Not for the sake of having the difficulties, but if there's no way you can do without it. People who lose a limb, people who lose something of their eyesight, for example, or their hearing, or their feet, or a leg, or some part of their body, or they are challenged in any other way, they just take it for granted and make it work. And it's amazing what they can achieve. I may have mentioned this, I went to Scotland a few months ago. And it was a 4-day or 5-day trip, and it was raining. And that was the forecast of raining. And it was miserable. Scotland, such a beautiful place, but it became miserable. And that night, I thought to myself, the next 4 days and 5 days are going to be very, very miserable. So I said to the family, I said, you know what? We're going to have to embrace the rain. We're going to have to be radi. We're going to be satisfied with the rain. It's going to be part of the experience. As soon as we changed that mind, mashallah, the next 3 or 4 days were amazing. With the rain for most of them. Only one day we got without rain. But suddenly, you just have to put a raincoat on and just enjoy it. Because the rain also, mashallah, is a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it makes everything so green and lush and fresh. And it was amazing. You have to accept it. Anybody who doesn't like difficulties, and nobody likes difficulties, but who can't embrace them and accept that they're an inevitable part of life of this world, they're just gonna They're just going to constantly have problems. They're doubling the problem, the effect of their problem. Otherwise, once you embrace it, then yes, there's a difficulty in overcoming the challenge to get something fixed. But at least psychologically, you're fine. At least psychologically, you're stable. What's the point of physically having to sort something out and also psychologically being disturbed? What's the point of that? This is what he's telling us. And then he says, you have to get over it through using sabr and just being satisfied. لِأَنَّهُ بَحْرٌ لُجِّي Because it is a very tumultuous wave-filled ocean. يَغْشَاهُ مَوْجِ Which is basically overcome by waves. مِنْ فَوْقِهِ مَوْجِ There's waves on top of those waves. I don't know if you've ever been when it's really troublesome. Right? When you go in, when the waves are literally crashing over you, that you don't even know what to go. Because when a wave comes at you, not those small ones that just go over your feet. Right? The ones that come at you, where you have to either jump up so that your head stays above, or you have to take a deep breath and then let it crash over you. It's one of those, right? This is not one of those. This is bigger than that. This is another wave on top of that. So these are double waves that are way bigger than you. You can't even jump out of them. And you get lost in the foray. And then above that is sahab dhulumat, dark clouds. So this is a major chaotic storm situation where there's multiple waves, levels of waves, and there's a dark clouds above that. You don't know where you are. This is very difficult to escape that. Dhulumatun ba'duha fawqa ba'd, yaghshahu mawju shahawat. La ilaha illallah, Allah help us. Above that is basically what he's saying, that the dunya, if you take a replication of that, it's not just about difficulty in the world. I've kind of focused on difficulty, but the challenges of the world are not just the difficulties, but it's also the other difficulties. He says, the waves coming at you, and this is a time when we're in a massive storm, is various different lusts and passions, temptations, harams are just coming at you. They're so easy. They're so easy to get to through the devices. Wherever you look, it's haram, haram, haram. It's like, the example is perfect. It's just these, we're submerged in it. You can't even dodge them. You can't even jump up. You can't even hold your breath. It's just wherever you are, wherever you look. Wherever you are, wherever you look. مِنْ فَوْقِهِ مَوْجُ الْغَفَلَاتِ Very interesting. He says what's happening in the world is that you're having all of these waves of passions and desires and temptations come at you. Above them are the waves of distractions, are the waves of heedlessness, waves of just spending your time doing other stuff and not focusing on what is correct. The amount of time people are wasting today and harming themselves, and not just wasting. People have always wasted their time. People just sitting around talking while wasting their time, right? You know, even in the old time, there was nothing to watch on TV, right? As such, or on a screen. People wasted time. They might have just slept. They might have just relaxed. They might have just spoken to one another. But the amount of time people waste today, right, with harm is the problem. Because on the device is just harm. More harm than there is good. So it's a lot more easier to do harm today in the wasting. And so people have always wasted time, but the amount of time people are, so it's mawjul ghafalat. That means waves of heedlessness, hedonism, and everything, decadence, and all of these things. Min fawqihi sahabul ka'inat. And above them are the clouds of all things that are created all around you. We're just submerged in this, and they're just hitting us. And then he clarifies the next part. He says, وَأَيْضًا لَوْ بُسِطَتْ لَكَ الدُّنْيَا If the dunya were to open up to you and fully be a place of wonderful comfort, as it is sometimes, right? Sometimes you just really enjoy it. You have that meal, those few days or a week or two go by or a month go by, and it's just excitement, mashallah. It went very, very well, alhamdulillah. So he says, if the dunya carried on like that for you and it expanded itself and gave you from its expansiveness, لَكَرِهْتَ لِقَاءَ اللَّهِ You would definitely dislike to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is just too nice. Why should we want? And this is seen in people who have a lot of influence at their disposal, a lot of wealth at their disposal, a good position. They can get what they want. This is usually what happens, right? This is usually what happens. So that's why he's saying, لَكَرِهْتَ لِقَاءَ اللَّهِ فَيَكْرَهُ اللَّهُ لِقَاءَكَ. What's the point of you? What's the harm in you not wanting to meet Allah, or actually even disliking to meet Allah, because you're going to be scared maybe, even if you're a mu'min? It's because then Allah would dislike to meet you, because it's reciprocal. Allah says, I mean, the Prophet ﷺ told us that whoever loves and wants and is eager to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to meet Allah, Allah is really even more eager to meet Him. And if you dislike to meet Allah for whatever reason you have, why would you dislike to meet Allah? Well, either you don't believe in Him, then that would be the worst case scenario. But if a person is a believer and they dislike to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it could either be because they're just really scared of themselves. And they have misunderstood Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They don't understand His mercy, so they're despondent. They're forsaking Him, right? They are hopeless. They don't know how to change. And that comes because of ignorance and no knowledge and no ma'rifah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which means no knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So why else would somebody not want to meet Him if they believe? Because they don't know about Allah. They don't know how wonderful He is. You're scared of somebody, right? Let's just say you're scared of a teacher. You're scared of an elder. You're scared of the imam. So you don't want to approach him. And then one day you, for some reason, you do approach and you find such a cool guy. He's just so easy, so welcoming, so accommodating. It's like, man, what kind of ignorance? What a waste of time. I should have done this so much earlier. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is better than anybody like that. So that's why he's saying that if you start to hate the meeting with Allah, then Allah's gonna dislike to meet you. وَلَوْ بُسِطَتْ لَكَ الْعَوَافِي وَالنِّعَمِ. And if full well-being and bounties and blissful things and gifts of Allah were to expand themselves for you, لَرَكَنَتِ الرُّوحُ إِلَى هَذَا الْعَالَمِ, then the soul, whether you want it or not, the soul would definitely become inclined to this world. فَتَبْقَى دَائِمًا فِي عَالَمِ الْأَشْبَاهِ. Right? Then our soul would be constantly intermingling and want to be occupied and with forms. وَالْمَقْصُودُ مِنْكَ هُوَ الرَّحِيلُ إِلَى عَالَمِ الْأَرْوَاهِ. Whereas the objective of your creation, Allah is saying, the objective of your creation is that you need to travel to the land and the abode of souls, which is back to where we came from. فَضَيَّقَ الْحَقُّ تَعَالَىٰ عَلَيْكَ هَذَا الْعَالَمَ السُّفْلِ لِتَرْحَلَ مِنْهُ بِهِمَّتِكَ إِلَى الْعَالَمِ الْعُلْوِ. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept all these challenges and temptations and difficulties and all of these issues that you face in this lower world, so that you can travel with your aspiration. And that means not physical travel, but it's just that you've become focused on the other alam, because it's been promised to be much better. It's all a promise, by the way. But that's because you have brought faith on the unseen. That is what your distinctive characteristic is. الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the believers right at the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah, and those people who believe in the unseen. That's what our faith is all about. All of these are promises. But if those promises you didn't believe in, you wouldn't be sitting here today. You wouldn't be going for Jumu'ah. We wouldn't be restricting ourselves. We'd just be like everybody else. So alhamdulillah, we have that. فَهُوَ مِنْهُ سُبْحَانَهُ إِنْعَامٌ وَإِحْسَانٌ. That is where the real gifts and bounties and beautiful conduct and favors are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَكِنَّهَا فِي قَالَبِ الْإِمْتِحَانِ. The problem is, all of this has been made a test for you. It's all in the form of a test. The nature of this world is all a form of it. فَلَا يَذُوقُهَا إِلَّا أُولُو الْبَصَائِرِ الْحِسَانِ. The only way you can really get a taste of that from now are the people who have the insight, who have the insight, the inner sight. They will get an understanding of this, so they'll be willing to go even though they're getting the difficulties of this world. فَهَذَا مَا أَشَارَ. And then that is what he discusses in the next one. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assist us. This is what Sheikh Abdullah Gangohi says. He says, Allah Most High has made the world a place from which a man should derive lesson and experience. He has also made it an abode of pollution and worries. From the lawful and awesome episodes enacted night and day on earth, the intelligent man takes lessons and gains experience. Unfortunately, we're not told all of this straight away. We get taught certain things of what's good and bad, but we don't get taught every single experience. We make mistakes and we learn. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows we make mistakes, because a lot of the stuff we learn in this world is through experience. From the terrible calamities and upheavals happening in the world, man gains admonition. And you see, our brothers and sisters who are being persecuted and violated and wronged, you see their iman is just something else. Like their iman is much better, even though it's destruction all around them. Because they've realized this is the fickle status of the world. We haven't realized that because the world is too comfortable for us. Allah keep it comfortable and give us afiyat. We're not asking for destruction. Allah strengthen our iman without the destruction. But it's this world is a strange place that in destruction you find belief. Allahu Akbar. You find strength. Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. It's amazing. That faith is amazing. Allah give us that faith without having to go through that. Ya Allah. So the calamities and upheavals that happen in the world, man gains admonition through them. No one is able to attain fulfillment of all their wishes and goals. In fact, the only one who probably died, who left from this world in our recent memory, who died having perfected what he came here to do and said, I've done what I've come here to do, is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Many other people have greater ideas, but they just can't fulfill them. They cut short. So many ideas, but they cut short. Allah, give us the ability to have good ideas, manageable ideas, high aspirations, and allow us to actually complete them as well before we die. Allah, give us afiyat. The other day, I had to go to the hospital to visit some elderly people, and you just see the situation there, and you feel that, oh Allah, do not save us from this place. Oh Allah, keep us with afiyat, and then take us with afiyat, so we don't have to have this sojourn in the hospital for years on end. Somebody passed away today, our brother Abdul Hay, his father passed away, who had been struggling and suffering for the last, you know, few years, completely dependent on others, right? He's passed away. Now that he's passed away, you know, we didn't make dua that he passed away, but once somebody passes away, then you realize that mashallah, he's, inshallah, got a rest now from all of these difficulties. He has, inshallah, rest. Beautiful ways. Muslims have wonderful ways, as the Prophet has told us, to look at these things, to make us manage the difficulties of this world, the events of this world. There's always a way to look at it. The people who don't have a way, who don't have the proper way to look at it, who don't understand Allah and why He created what He did and why He does what He does, they're the people who get depressed. Because they just have that issue of just misunderstanding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Sunnah in this world. In the hardships, trials, tribulations, and experiences of man, there is considered mercy of Allah Most High. All of this is mercy. Why is that a mercy of Allah? It's a mercy because if it was too comfortable and there'd be no calamities, we'd be too indulgent in the world. That's just the way we are. The only thing that takes us away from something is seeing the difficulties of it, seeing the filth in it, right? So if we weren't able to see all of that, it was too comfortable, then why would that be a mercy of Allah when He's got something else He wants us to give us? As a result of these trials, man, as truly defined, becomes disenchanted from the world. By means of his disinclination, then Allah Most High separates him from this carrion, from this disease, this carrion, this dead body that is the world. So we take whatever benefit we can, and then we leave the rest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us, and we say to Allah, give us afiyah, and we thank you for your mercy. We thank for you for whatever you have given us and taught us, and allow us to be correct in our understanding and much better than in what we're doing. But Allah, make it easy for us, because it's not easy for us. Wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina. اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام وتبارك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام.
اللهم يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث يا حنان يا منان لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين يا غفار يا فتاح يا ستار يا حفيظ يا سلام يا لطيف يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا الله have mercy on us and accept us يا الله make it easy for us and guide us يا الله allow us to have inner sight يا الله allow us to have the insight allow us to have the himma and aspiration oh Allah allow us the focus and allow us to really understand what is good and bad for us oh Allah allow us to see the good as the good and allow us to follow it and see the wrong as the wrong and allow us to abstain from it. Oh Allah, remove any confusion and clouds from our mind. Oh Allah, do not allow chaos to overwhelm us. Oh Allah, protect us from the evils that we see around us. Oh Allah, protect us from the evil of debt. Ya Allah, protect us from the evil of laziness. Protect us from the evil of sloth. Oh Allah, protect us from the evil of cowardice. Oh Allah, protect us from the evil of excessive anger and excessive desire, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, grant us all the beneficial things in moderation, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, all of the beneficial attributes, Oh Allah, grant us them in their beneficial moderation, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, you have granted us so much more than so many others. Oh Allah, allow us to see the dunya for what it really is. Allow us to use it in the correct way. Allow us to use it as the abode of means that we have, that you have given us. And oh Allah, we praise you for allowing us to be here and to have granted us iman and granted us our faith, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, now we ask you, just like the child who is learning to walk and is struggling, and finally when they get tired of walking, the parents pick the child up. Oh Allah, we also need picking up. We also need support against the shaitan. Oh Allah, the waves of the shayateen, the waves of the shaitani influences are all around us, submerging us, hitting us, attacking us. Oh Allah, allow us to get through this to a place in the hereafter. Let us not regret this on the day of judgment. Oh Allah, do not make what you have given us to be a source of fitna for us. Oh Allah, rather allow it to be a source and a tool for goodness and for virtue and for assistance and for selflessness and for your happiness, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, accept all of us. Oh Allah, accept all of us. The time that we sit here, the time that we gather here, Oh Allah, accept it from us. Oh Allah, make it a source of blessing for us and protect us and forgive us. Forgive us all of our wrongdoings. Forgive us all of our wrongdoings and protect us from all forms of wrongdoings. Oh Allah, protect us from the humiliation of this world and the disgrace of the Akhirah. Oh Allah, protect us from the humiliation of this world and disgrace of the hereafter. Allow us to, Oh Allah, protect us from falling foul of your laws, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, from succumbing to our desires and going overboard. Oh Allah, protect us from all forms of abuse, from all forms of wrongs, from all forms of dhulm. Oh Allah, from all forms of vices, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, assist us and help us and bless all of those who assist us, Ya Allah. Subhana Rabbika, Rabbil Izzati Amma Yasifun, wa salamun ala al-mursaleen, wa alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ya Allah.
The point of a lecture is to encourage people to act, to get further, an inspiration, an encouragement, persuasion. The next step is to actually start learning seriously, to read books, to take on a subject of Islam and to understand all the subjects of Islam, at least at their basic level, so that we can become more aware of what our deen wants from us. And that's why we started Rayyan courses, so that you can actually take organized lectures on demand, whenever you have free time, especially, for example, the Islamic Essentials course that we have on there, the Islamic Essentials Certificate, which you take 20 short modules. And at the end of that, inshallah, you will have gotten the basics of most of the most important topics in Islam, and you'll feel a lot more confident. You don't have to leave lectures behind. You can continue to leave, to listen to lectures, but you need to have this more sustained study as well. Jazakallah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.